enjoyment of families everywhere, the Radio Corporation of America presents The Magic Key. Radio service of the Radio Corporation of America, the magic key of RCA turns once more to present an hour of entertainment brought to you from Honolulu and San Francisco, from a farm in Illinois, and from New York City. During the next hour, we are to hear the golden voice of Giovanni Martinelli, world-famous tenor of the Metropolitan Opera, Frank Fay, radio's comedy find of 1936, the ultra-smart dance music of Richard Himber and his Ritz-Carlton Orchestra, a special international feature depicting the celebration of the Chinese New Year, John B. Kennedy, and Frank Black with the NBC Symphony Orchestra playing first the glowing farandole from the L'Alésienne suite by Bizet. What year is this? 1936, you say. But fascist Italy calls it the year 14. In Soviet Russia, many an ardent party member refers to it as the year 19. But the Chinese cling to a more ancient calendar. 2 days ago, a new year was initiated in China, the year 4,640. The New Year celebrations, which began on the 24th, are still going on and will continue throughout the week. One novel feature of the Chinese New Year is worthy of special comment and even of emulation. They believe that on New Year they must forgive all their enemies, pay all their debts, or lose faith. But let us take you straight to the Chinese center of America and see what is going on. The magic key of RCA turns to San Francisco's famous Chinatown.
In San Francisco and a large part of the world, today is January 26, 1936. Here on Grant Avenue in the heart of San Francisco's Chinatown, it is the Chinese New Year. According to printed record, it is the third day of the first month of the Chinese year 4633, or if you like, the 25th year of the Chinese Republic. The Chinese New Year started at midnight last Thursday night, and there has been continuous celebrating, entertaining, visiting, feasting, and general uproar here in Chinatown ever since. You can hear the firecrackers without any difficulty, I know. And while they're the noisiest, they're just one of the many things the Chinese associate with their New Year. And while the firecrackers are doing their job of warding away the evil spirits, the real observance of the holiday has been going on in the Chinese homes and temples for the last 3 days and will continue for 4 days more. New Year's week is the time when every Chinese wears his or her best clothes. It's the time of joy and laughter when no sadness is permitted. Why, we can almost say that a Chinese New Year celebration combines the best features of our Mardi Gras, Christmas, and the 4th of July. And food? This week, the Chinese really spread themselves. In the home, there are barbecued ducks, stuffed chicken, pickled eggs, shark fins, stuffed melons, candied fruits, and sweetmeats for the family and all the visitors. Decorations? Lighted lanterns are hanging both inside and outside the houses. There are flowers in every room. And new pictures of the household gods have replaced those hung last year. Music, too, is everywhere. You probably can hear an orchestra which has just started to play. Maybe its music sounds strange to your ears, but that's because the Chinese musical scale has only 5 fundamental notes, where our diatonic scale has 7. Now listen for a moment to this Chinese orchestra. By a Chinese orchestra. But let's find out at first hand some other things about the Chinese New Year. A well-known figure in San Francisco's Chinatown, Mr. S.H. Shum, joined me a moment ago, and I'm going to ask him about it. Mr. Shum, what are some of the customs associated with your New Year? Will you tell us, please?
Well, like at your Christmas, at our New Year, we go around and visit our friends and relatives. We don't give presents, though, except good luck pieces to the children. The day before New Year's is our busiest day, because that's when we pay our bills.
I see.
You see, we don't have monthly accounts. When Chinese do business with each other, the accounts run until the New Year. But it is a sacred duty to pay all debts by our New Year's Day. Then, on New Year's morning, right after midnight, all the Chinese visit the temples of their various gods, such as the gods of heaven, or General Huan Gong, or Confucius, and so forth, and lay offerings and burn incense candles before the shrine. Our New Year really combines both a calendar and a religious significance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shum, for that glimpse into your Chinese New Year custom. The Chinese New Year is celebrated wherever Chinese gather, whether in Limehouse, Mott Street, here on Grant Avenue, China itself, or in Hawaii. So, a swift turn of the magic key of RCA and another vignette of the Chinese New Year comes to you from Hawaii. We take you now to Honolulu.
Yes, indeed, it's Chinese New Year in Hawaii. The one-week celebration of this annual event started last Thursday with a roar at midnight when miles of firecrackers blazed their way to freedom. Candles dimly lighted sacred Chinese shrines where faithful Chinese gathered to do obeisance to their gods. The Chinese have one custom at this season, which all might well emulate. Their debts are paid, and the slate wiped clean for the start of the new year. Here's a peep into what has happened in rapid sequence since the celebration started. With noise and a puppet show, Chinese musical and bazaar. This was staged by University of Hawaii students. A Chinese play titled Lady Precious Stream, with atmosphere typically Chinese. Many other social functions are being held. Chinese homes are all gaily decorated, and tables spread with delicacies, cakes, sweetmeats, and many a feast is being laid and consumed. Chinese wives receive calling friends with typical dignity and grace, while the head of the family pays respects of his household to the homes of friends and business associates. While much gaiety and celebration is going on generally, the older generation of Chinese carry on their traditional ceremonials at the altars in the feast of the gods, Chao Sun, or Wan Sun. Sacrifices consist of chicken, pork and fish, rice, tea and preserved plums, all placed on the altar before burning incense, while priests burn sheets of paper representing money or fowls. Today, the great Chinese weddings will be opened at the temples, and it's almost time for this to take place. It'll be announced with another deafening roar of firecrackers, but maybe we still have time for a Happy New Year in Chinese for Mr. Wong Lum, President of the Chinese Chamber of Commerce. Happy New Year to you, Mr. Lum.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Cảm ơn các quý khách nên sức phong sờ vô vời nhất việt dòng sông xuân. Thì hiện tại thì Trung Hoa Liên Xuân Trung Hoa Tổng Sáng Hội công chúc hoàn cầu vô hoa kiều Tổng Sáng vô hoa xuân đi chỉ nhất xuân đông lịch bày hoang kiền. Goodbye.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. My Chinese was neglected in my youth, but I can understand that much. Mr. Lum said, Happy New Year and good luck to you. And now the magic key of RCA turns back across the Pacific to San Francisco.
Back in San Francisco's Chinatown, 16,000 Chinese and all over the world, 400 million of them are celebrating their New Year. Wherever they are, they're making what noise they can, beating on pans, shouting, or any other way to make a racket. And, of course, firecrackers. Now, here's an interesting item about those firecrackers. The Chinese rarely shoot one cracker at a time. Nothing less than a pack will do. In fact, a favorite stunt is to hang a dozen bunches from a window or a balcony. There's one being touched off right now across the street. Listen to that string roar over there. Celebration continues for 4 days more, but now the magic key of RCA turns, speeding you across the American continent to New York.
We are back in Radio City, headquarters of the family of RCA, whose members, RCA Communications, Radio Marine, RCA Radiotron, RCA Victor, the RCA Institute, and the National Broadcasting Company, all unite in presenting these weekly broadcasts for your interest and entertainment. Our idea of an infant prodigy that is an infant prodigy is a young man who could, at 15, lead an orchestra accompanying Sophie Tucker. And our idea of a grown-up prodigy is the same young man changing from the hot music with which he started to smooth, sophisticated rhythm, making himself the leader of one of America's smartest dance orchestras. That's the achievement of Richard Himber, whose music over the air in swanky nightclubs and on Victor Records has set millions of feet to tapping. The magic key of RCA turns to Richard Himber and his Ritz-Carlton Orchestra with Stuart Allen, playing a medley consisting of Don't Hold Everything from the musical show of a few seasons back, the currently popular Alone, and his latest Victor recording, a new song, Cling to Me. Thank you.
In the air and life is gay. Bring to me the sweetest of a kiss or two. My lips will do their part. Cling to me like ivy on a wall and make this what they call a perfect day. Let it be a song of love you sing to me and cling to me, sweetheart.
Ever been on a Middle Western farm in the dead of winter? Fences half buried beneath snowdrifts. Coops, cribs, and sheds similarly obscured. Everything white, hushed, beautiful. In many localities this Sunday, the mercury hovers around zero. In some places, it has fallen to 55 degrees below. But in spite of this, spring is just around the corner. To city people, it may seem premature to speak of a change in the season. But farmers, perhaps because they live closer to nature, recognize that there comes a kind of turning point each winter about this time, when everything ceases to look back and begins looking forward. The first, the very first pulse of spring. And John B. Kennedy, famed news commentator of the National Broadcasting Company, is right on the spot to take that pulse. The magic key of RCA turns to Mr. Kennedy, speaking with farmer Harlan Deaver at Sabetha, 60 miles north of Topeka, Kansas.
Good afternoon, all. Here we are in the trim little town of Sabetha, Kansas, 60 miles north of Topeka and 100 miles from the exact center of population in America. Although just now with zero zigzagging over the snow-clad plains, it feels more like the exact center of population in Little America. But you can never judge a town by the size of its telephone book, and Sabetha's okay by me. We're visiting Mr. Harlan Deaver, a master Kansas farmer. Mr. Deaver runs a fine seed and cattle-raising farm on U.S. Route 36. The Deaver family says, how do, America?
How do you, everybody?
These are two fine-looking young girls, Mr. Deaver, Liberta and Donna. Which is which?
I'm Donna, and I'm Liberta.
10-year-old Liberta and 12-year-old Donna.
I'm not 12, I'm 14.
Well, someday, Donna, you may not be as eager to make that kind of correction. How do you get the title Master Farmer of Kansas, Mr. Deaver?
Well, that was given to me by Senator Capper's paper, The Kansas Farmer. At the same time, the farmer's wife gave Mrs. Deaver the title of Master Farm Homemaker. I'm sorry she isn't here.
Why, so am I. Everything seems too peaceful out here, Mr. Deaver. Talk about a midsummer night's dream, a midwinter daydream seems to have far more solitude. I should think that a grassroots farmer in winter has just about as much spare time on his hands as Mahatma Gandhi's tailor.
That's where you're wrong.
Well, of course, I'm just from the corn, beef, and cabbage belt with a lot to learn about your corn country.
Well, of course, there's a lot to do in the winter, repairing plants and tending the livestock.
That's a part of my job, too.
You can't teach this little girl inside the house when the livestock has to be tended to. Donna is the homebody.
What do you do, Donna? Understudy for Mother when she's away?
Yes. During the winter, I do a lot of sewing. And she runs our radio in the house. She programs Donna like we all have to like.
Well, what, for instance, does Donna like?
Most everything.
Do you like comedians?
Yes.
Concerts?
Yes.
Commentators?
No.
Oh. You don't like them at all, Liberta?
Oh, just a little bit.
I tell you, Mr. Kennedy, it may be what you flew out here to learn.
Oh, did you fly to Kansas?
Why, sure, with Johnny Graves, the pilot they call Big Chief Flying Beans, because he dropped beans on Indians stranded by blizzards in the New Mexican Rockies.
Have you got an Indian name, Mr. Kennedy?
Why, sure, I'm Big Chief Frozenfoot today.
That isn't a name. It's a condition.
Okay, Liberta, but as I was telling you...
I let Liberta hear the adventure program. No, she doesn't.
Quiet, sister. Let your daddy speak.
You may be glad to hear this, Mr. Kennedy, that radio is our special social salvation during the long winter. I don't know how we'd manage without the farm quotations every day. And besides all the sports and big events, there's this Farm and Home Hour. That's the daily Department of Agriculture program, you know.
Why, yes, Mr. Deaver, and it's got a great following in the cities as well as on the farm. The Farm and Home Hour is easily one of NBC's outstanding daytime features.
It gives us about everything a farmer or his family might be interested in. For instance, if there's a plant or animal epidemic, we get good, sensible advice on how to fight it on these broadcasts. You know, Mr. Kennedy, there was a hired man came out here from New York. He hung around the radio till he got cauliflower ears listening in. I recall how he went out to the cornfield with a tongueless cultivator. You know, the machine collapses when the team isn't pulling it. This fellow couldn't figure that one out. He spent all day trying to repair it. I guess he'd be at it yet if he hadn't been shown how it worked.
Well, who showed him?
Why, the horses. They just got tired and walked on, and the machine went with them.
Oh, great. Well, let me thank you, Mr. Deaver, and your charming daughters for this little visit, which is good for us so-called big city folks to have once in a while. Here in the breadbasket of America, the country of cyclones and the farm friends of husbandry and neighborliness. Nature is in repose for the stirring of spring. And if radio makes the long winter more livable for the farmer and the summer more profitable, then radio amply justifies itself.
I think so, Mr. Kennedy. By the way, where are you going now?
Why, I think I'm going to mail a postcard to Admiral Byrd. Again, thank you and good afternoon.
Not only on the Deaver farm, but in the homes of hundreds of thousands of American farmers, you will find an RCA Victor radio or radio phonograph. Especially for those who live in rural districts, RCA Victor manufactures storage battery sets that can be kept charged by a wind-operated device and dry battery and air cell sets, in addition to the regular RCA Victor radios and phonograph combinations for those who have electric current. An RCA Victor battery radio set, less batteries, can be purchased for as little as $39.25 at the factory. In the completeness of the RCA Victor line, the completeness which enables such people as the Deavers to keep in constant touch with the whole world, is symbolized the universal radio service of the Radio Corporation of America. Everything that RCA does, everything that it manufactures, benefits by the expert knowledge and technical skill gained through its unparalleled worldwide radio activities. Members of the family of RCA not only manufacture the radio sets with which to receive programs, they also manufacture and install broadcasting transmitters and transmitting tubes. And through NBC, that most familiar member of the family of RCA, come programs themselves to thrill, entertain, educate, and amuse millions of people on farms, in cities, in speeding automobiles, in rolling ships at sea. RCA Victor, RCA Radiotron, RCA Communications, the National Broadcasting Company, the RCA Institute, Radio Marine. It's really only necessary to list members of the family of RCA by name to indicate the nature and the extent of RCA's universal radio service. The Magic Key, unlocking a world of entertainment. Presented for your pleasure and interest by the members of the family of RCA, co-workers in the creation of Universal Radio Services. Continuing our program, Frank Black, director of music for the National Broadcasting Company, conducts the NBC Symphony Orchestra in the familiar March and Procession of Bacchus from the ballet Sylvia by Delibes. Thank you. Giovanni Martinelli, in 1910, made his operatic debut at the Teatro del Verme in Milan. He suffered as much stage fright as any present-day tyro on a radio amateur hour. After several faux pas, he was almost paralyzed when his sword jumped out of his hand at the wrong moment. Everything, he thought, was finished. He detested opera. He would never sing again. And then, through the depths of his humiliation, someone told him, "Giovanni, that applause you hear, it's for you." And though Martinelli's first triumph came unusually early in his career, his artistic maturity has been similarly brilliant. Europe and South America have enthusiastically acclaimed Martinelli, but the greatest opportunities for the expression of his great talent have been accorded him here in the United States through his long association with the Metropolitan Opera Company and his regular concerts. The Magic Key turns to Giovanni Martinelli, one of the most distinguished of living tenors, singing first the aria E lucevan le stelle, when stars were brightly shining, from Puccini's opera Tosca.
Thank you.
Italian composer Francesco Paolo Totti was especially well regarded in England, where he was for many years singing pieces for the royal family. For an encore selection, Giovanni Martinelli chooses one of Totti's compositions, L'ultima canzone, the last song.
Thank you.
The Golden Voice of Martinelli. Great performances by other outstanding artists. The best in symphonic music, popular dance melodies, all are available on Victor Records in marvelous true-to-life high-fidelity recordings. The music that you want, when you want it, is brought you as you want it when it is reproduced by an RCA Victor phonograph. In many of the latest models, these instruments are combined with a new 1936 RCA Victor radio, the sensational set with the three RCA Victor features, the Magic Brain, the Magic Eye, and RCA Metal Tube. Whether your interest is in a phonograph combination or a radio, you will want to investigate the fine instruments designed and created by RCA engineers out of their background of worldwide radio experience. Prices will surprise you agreeably. Easy payments can be arranged by an RCA Victor dealer. And whatever model of RCA Victor radio or phonograph combination you may select, you can always be sure of RCA Victor quality. Out in Hollywood a few weeks ago, the producers of Harry Richmond's forthcoming picture changed its name from Rolling Along to The Music Goes Round. Richard Hember and his Ritz-Carlton Orchestra have recorded one of the most promising songs from this new score for Victor, and here he is to play it for us in person. Susanna from The Music Goes Round.
I'll simply say I knew Susanna, and they'll say, won't write it, oh, sweet Susanna. You're like a dream come true, from Virginia to Savannah, all the way to Louisiana. Oh, Susanna, there's no Susanna like you.
Trades is one thing. Master of all trades, quite another and unique. It may be said with considerable justice of Frank Faith that he has tried practically everything in the way of showmanship and made a success of it. He has played in vaudeville. He lays claim to the longest run on record at the Palace Theater in New York. He has played in pictures, starring in romantic comedy parts. He it was who first popularized the master of ceremony style in entertainment. And now, in 1936, Frank Faith finds himself the potential great comedy find of radio. A few brief weeks ago, he made his first air appearance in several years. And by the next morning, everybody was talking Faye. Through the courtesy of the Fleischmann Yeast Hour, he is present in our studio this afternoon. The magic key of RCA turns to the newest comedian on the airwaves and one of the brightest, Frank Faye.
I'm more or less flattered, Mr. Grauer, by your kind introduction. At the same time, naturally, I am, may I say, irked. And I really am. Now, this is Faye talking, though, honest. People wouldn't believe. But I'm irked. And the reason for my irking or irkness, let it go. Anyway, the reason for it is that I have taken up I've associated myself with the more serious and better things of life. Woo-woo. And, particularly my hating association of America, USA, and its many branches for the relief of everyday worry. Now, in answer to the many requests for further details of this association for the benefit of those dear people who were not listening when I launched this great project and boon to mankind, a triple fortnight ago, Do I talk or do I get started? And really, it is a great thing. And the company, may I repeat some of its advantages? First of all, for those who don't know, you may join the Association of Heating by sending your check on Elastic, if possible. You can send it to us, and $5 or $10, and the $5 check entitles you to 3 hates a month, and the $10 to 6 hates. In other words, you don't want to go through life upsetting yourself hating people, you know what I mean? So you just give us their names, and we throw a couple of our old haters on them. And you can go through life then just as happy, la la la, knowing that the people you despise are being taken care of, you know what I mean? So that makes it nice. And then instead of the so many, we have the +964 hyphen hater. That's the best hater. We got most of them from Hollywood because they've been hating for years there. And then knowing the people, of course, another service we give absolutely free is our hoping department. You've seen people that you've said that I hope he or she break a leg. You know? Well, you just give us the hopee's name and which leg. Then we throw the hopers on him. Boy, and if we got hopers, I lead it myself. And I've been hoping. Oh, boy. And as a matter of fact, we hope. Of course, we do not guarantee an absolute break. But a fracture, you can bet money on. You know what I mean? Of course, if you want a broken neck, that runs into money. Of course, you can just give it. Now, there's another thing I have here on these papers that I want to call your attention to. I'm happy to tell you that we have added a new department to the association, the ache absorbing department. You know, you've seen people that give you a pain in the neck and et cetera. Now, if you just let us know who the party is and the particular pain, we take it over, regardless of its locality. And in turn, we return it to the people that gave it to you in the first place. We hold the right, however, to withhold your relief for you in the event that you have the ache or it's caused by one of the officers of our company. Particularly the president. And I understand that this radio today, the program is heard all over the world. I suppose the aches and petty annoyances are the same all over the world. So if you have any ideas for, you know, for to get over something like to help mankind or to get rid of something, just get in touch with me. Please don't hesitate to send me a letter or something. And I, the president, will take care of it. I had a great kick. They allowed me in the monitor room there, and I exposed all you folks heard all over the country. See there, I got a kick out of that. San Francisco, that's where I was born. I was born there, and I liked that, too, with the... Of course, I, Oriental as I am, I knew immediately what they were saying. They were saying something about, I hope Faye doesn't come back or something. I couldn't get it all, you know, pick up and everything. It's nice, too, that New Year's. You pay all your debts. It's okay. And they're so happy doing it, too. That's what I like. And free food and everything else. I like that. I noticed some other things. I know they started in 4-6-33. Some of the Faye's debts go way back that far. And then they laugh while they're paying them. And then I noticed, too, the different things. The man in Hawaii. Did you hear him say that? Here we are down in Hawaii. Kind of like my woo-woo. And then we heard Himber. How are we doing? Then we heard Himber. See, ladies and gentlemen, the man just come to tell me. He said, any minute now. Then we heard from the Kansas farm. I like that, too. Mr. Deaver and his daughters. I enjoyed that. What was their name? Donna and Roberta. Funny, I have the Brennans. I know the Brennans. They have two girls. One is 19, and the other is an usher at the Hippodrome. And then there's a farm down there. They have the cheap frozen puss or something, he said, and I enjoyed what they said about Mr. Montanelli. So they said that in his first appearance, the sword jumped out and he was nervous. That's the way it was with me the first time on the air. And the people were all screaming and yelling. They said, Faye, they wanted me, but they didn't get me. I went right down the back way. I am I have Mr. Black here, ladies and gentlemen. I've known him. See, we just bowed to each other, you see? And we showed off then. He has, he's the man that has all the men that he tells what to do. There must be 65 in the orchestra. Counting him is 66, and me is 67. And I'd like to sing a song now. So if you happen to hear a voice during all of this, that will be Faye. I'd like to tell you what this song, it's a little burlesque of a gentleman who is a great artist, Mr. John Charles Thomas. Mr. Black and I were talking to him one day, and we asked him, instead of singing something dramatic, wouldn't he sing something that was hot or heated? You know, one of those root-a-toot-a-toot-a. So he asked Frank and I if we'd ever heard the Darktown Stutters Fall, and we both had heard it faintly. And this is something like John Charles Thomas sang it for us. I've left my home on the range, and I'll be down to get you in a taxi, honey. You better be ready about half past day. Now, honey, don't be late. I want to be the half. Well, the bell starts to lay. Goodbye, rain.
Key of RCA turns to the established musical mastery of Frank Black, directing the NBC Symphony Orchestra in the vivid and impetuous Gypsy Dance from Carmen. RCA Communications, RCA Radiotron, Radio Marine, the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Victor, and the RCA Institute, members of the family of RCA, all join in expressing the hope that you have enjoyed this broadcast. We cordially invite you to be with us next Sunday at the same time when the Magic Key will turn to present Morton Downey, Marian Anderson, an actual behind-the-scenes view of picture-making direct from Hollywood, Jack Hilton and his orchestra, John B. Kennedy, and the NBC Symphony conducted by Frank Black. Ben Grauer
and Milton Cross
speaking for one of the members of the family of RCA, the National Broadcasting Company.